welcome all of you people who are listening in to advance. Simon, I'm glad you're here today. Would you welcome all the people who are listening in all over the world?
Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're with us today to talk about how you can have a better life.
And we're glad to have Albert with us. How are you today?
I'm great. Welcome, everyone. I'm looking forward to, sharing these tips for everyone.
Oh, good. All right. And who else is with us today?
We've got Gordon.
Gordon, we're glad to have someone from England with us. So we have American and English accents in here, which is very good for advanced people. So, Gordon, do you think that people are going to learn something new or something positive out of this article?
Yes, Doris, I certainly think so. Hello, everyone. Today we have an article with lots of words and idioms that you can learn and put into your vocabulary.
Good. So, let's get started. Are you all ready?
I'm ready.
Good.
Let's do it.
And if you have your magazine, you can open up to page 14 today. Listen in. And if you want to do your m.studioclassroom.com, you can listen in on your smartphone, can't you?
Yeah, on the mobile website. That's
right. So now let's begin our lesson by reading about these tips. Let's take the whole first column on page 14.
Tips for a better life. Learn how to maintain a positive outlook even when life throws you a curve. Steps to keep your mood up when facing tough issues. Do you feel tired and unable to push toward your goals? Do you feel like a robot that needs new batteries? All of us can reach the point of forcing ourselves to function. But if we look at what's behind this, we may see that a bad mood or depression is contributing to the tiredness. What we say to ourselves is a powerful driving force, so we have to be careful about our internal dialogue. I'm having a lot of financial problems, and the more I worry, the more exhausted I become, says a friend who lost her job. Another man says his job as a news reporter is affecting his mood. I have to share all the gloom and doom, he told us. In order to crawl out of a bad mood, it pays to focus on what will help. We can create a better mood by how we manage our emotions.
So today, we're going to talk about or learn how to maintain a positive outlook. Wow, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's very important. We're here in this world and we want to enjoy it as much as possible. So it's better to be positive than to be negative.
Well, it says here that you have to have a positive outlook even when things aren't going well. It talks about when life throws you a curve. That's a good idiom, isn't it?
It is a good idiom, and it actually is a shortened version of the idiom throw a curveball, which of course comes from baseball, and the idea is that when you throw a curveball, the ball actually changes direction while it's in the air and confuses you. So it's something that's really unexpected, but it happens to you anyway. You're not prepared for it.
So you want life to go straight ahead and be perfect, but all of a sudden something happens and it goes sideways or drops to the bottom when it throws you a curve. That's a good idiom.
And yeah, that's correct. It's when you're faced with something difficult, because the curveball is obviously a difficult ball for the batter to respond to.
And Doris, you just used another idiom that you said, when it goes sideways, which is another idiom that has the same
idiom. Is that really an idiom? I don't know if it's an idiom, but
saying. People say it when something goes sideways. It doesn't go the way you want it to go.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a good thought anyway.
Yeah.
What do you think?
As humans, we want to be in control. When things don't go our way, it kind of, stresses us out. So, we have some really good tips in this article to help people cope with it.
That's true. And we're talking about having a positive attitude. So two words we're going to be, remember, are positive and negative. And what is negative?
Well, negative is the opposite of positive. So if positive means good, negative means kind of a bad way of thinking about things.
Looking at the worst,
you
right?
Look at the worst. And sometimes you hear people talk about a glass of water being half full or half empty. And
is so that an idiom or not? That's
I think that's a saying.
It's a saying.
That one.
Okay.
Yeah, because it means what it says, right? If you look at the glass and you say it is half full, you're thinking about the good things, the positive things. If you think the glass is half empty, you're thinking about the negative or the bad thing.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things we can learn from this today. And so we're going to find out different steps that might help us to keep being positive. Now, it's easy to be positive when things are going well. But when we face tough issues, what are they?
Yeah, tough issues are difficult problems that might come up in our lives. So maybe you're having trouble at work or in a relationship, and that's the curveball that's been thrown your way.
Right. When difficult things happen, how do you keep positive? That's not easy. Now, I'm not sure if any of you ever feel like, you know, you can't push your goals, you can't make it, or I don't think we feel like robots that need new batteries. That's kind of, you know, a nice idea. But sometimes we just feel too tired and we think we need to get more energy. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, I do. But it's interesting because this phrase, they say, do you feel like a robot that needs new batteries? And it's interesting because there's a famous sort of advertisement for batteries that features like this little robot rabbit that runs out of batteries, right? And he needs new batteries. And I think sometimes people feel that way, particularly if they're doing the same things over and over again. Sometimes we say you feel like you're in a rut.
Right. So I'm guessing just this little sentence right here just means, do you need to revitalize, re-energize yourself by having a new set of batteries, like if you were a toy or a robot?
Okay, well, all of us can reach this sort of point that we're sort of forcing ourselves, I have to get up and go to work and do the same thing. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it, but I don't have the energy. So what can we do about this? We look behind, what's behind us? Why do we feel that way?
Yeah, we can feel this way because we are, as Simon said, we're stuck in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
And we may think that it's our mood or depression or sadness that is contributing
okay.
to being tired.
A bad mood means that you just feel like nothing is right. Things are not going well. It's not really depression. We can feel depressed, but depression itself is very, very severe. But sometimes we can feel a little bit not happy about things.
Yeah, you feel down or unhappy with things. We might describe you as feeling depressed, but depression is actually sort of a medical condition that people have, right?
So you don't get really into that, but you just feel a little bit that things aren't going well that day. So how can we do something about it? What does it say in the next paragraph?
Well, they use this interesting sentence. They say, what we say to ourselves is a powerful driving force. And then they go on to use this term, internal dialogue.
That's a good idea. Do you ever have internal dialogue? I do.
Well, it's an interesting idea. I work at Let's Talk in English, which of course is famous for its dialogues because we focus on spoken English, right? And so
mm-hmm.
we have articles where people are kind of talking to each other. They're having a dialogue. And when they use this term internal dialogue, we're talking about the conversation that is happening in yourself or in your head.
So do you ever say things to yourself or snap out of it?
Yeah, that's
you
kind of thing. Snap out of it or come on, try again or,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, just give up. Or I guess the things you are saying to yourself, they have a big effect on how you perform in life. And that's
don't we all have internal dialogue with ourselves, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly do. And I really agree with this, this research that says, hey, if you just smile even when you're feeling depressed, you will feel better after a few minutes. So there's a driving force that it mentions that's behind us that, you know, it really affects what you do or how you frame your perspective.
Now, let's do some examples. Gordon, do you have any examples when you have a little internal dialogue and talk to yourself? What do you do?
Well, it's interesting. I think that an internal dialogue is often a couple of different parts of you, maybe different aspects of your character talking to themselves. So you might have a positive bit where you're like, come on, Gordon, you can do this. And then a negative saying, ah, but you're really quite tired and you want to go back to sleep.
Yeah, if you watch Western cartoons or comedy shows, you'll be familiar with this sort of idea they use where there's kind of an angel sitting on one shoulder telling you to do good things and encouraging you, and a little devil sitting on the other shoulder telling you to be selfish. But what they're trying to show in those cartoons is this idea of internal dialogue where you're trying to decide what to do.
Can you ever tell me anything you've done for internal dialogue? I know for me, sometimes I'll say, oh, I'm so lonesome, I'm all by myself, and all my relatives aren't here. And I say, hey, snap out of it. You've got a lot of friends, all the studio classroom people, and you've got a lot of friends in their company. Snap out of it, Doris. I have to tell myself that.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell yourself anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we do that from day to day. You know, none of us are immune to feeling alone. I feel like as humans, we're really social. You know, we like affirmation, being you know, having confidence. So it happens, and it always happens, and I feel like...
Does it happen to you?
Did
you ever do that to yourself?
It does. It does on a daily basis.
I mean, I think the thing with internal dialogues is that you have them over big issues, but you have them over small things, too. Like,
right.
I have a lengthy internal dialogue almost every weekend when I'm trying to convince myself to get up and get out of bed and get doing things because I just want to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so you kind of lie there half awake.
Should I get up?
I should get up, and then you think, oh, I don't want to get up. That's all internal dialogue too.
Internal dialogue,
right?
In the morning.
Yeah. Just when you're trying to convince yourself to do something,
mm-hmm.
or decide what you're going to do, you can describe it as internal dialogue.
Yeah. Simon's correct. It can be over small things too. I think I probably have an internal dialogue with myself every time I get to lunch.
Mm.
And deciding what I want, whether I should have the healthy option or the unhealthy option.
For something that sounds good but not healthy. Yeah.
Do I
right.
want another piece of chocolate cake?
Yeah, right. But you don't say that out loud. You say
no,
it to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, somebody might say something like, well, they have a lot of money issues. A lot of people have financial problems, you know, and they don't have enough money, and how am I going to pay the bills? And the more you think about it, the more tired, the more exhausted you get. Somebody lost their job. What am I going to do? How am I going to buy food next week? Well, don't get into that. Think of positive things. What can you do about it?
Yeah. Right.
I think that's correct. There's, we all face difficult problems, which is why this article is hopefully going to be useful to many of our listeners. And it's important what we say to ourselves in those times of difficulty.
Right. Let's say you did lose your job, because a lot of people do. And you say, well, instead of saying, oh, no, what am I going to do? You say, well, maybe there's a better job that suits me, or maybe there's something else ahead that I'm supposed to do. That's why I lost this job. Let's look for the positive thing, right?
That's right. I was going to ask you, Doris, you were pointing at me when you said that. I was hoping you weren't firing me.
Not until the program's over.
I'm trying to keep my positive internal dialogue up here.
Right.
And address myself on
well,
that
that's
done.
A good idea, yeah. But, you know, we do have to look at the positive side of things, though.
And
what about especially people like news reporters? Even when you watch the news, there's so much negative news. And you say, oh, this world is such a mess. How can we live in it?
Well,
and the people that report the news, they feel the same way sometimes.
That's right. And this is another good example, because this man doesn't really have a personal problem. The first example there was a friend who had lost her job. So she actually does have financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
This man, though, his problems are kind of more in his head, the way he's thinking about what he's doing. Because he talks about how his job is affecting his mood, not because he doesn't have a job or doesn't have money, but it's affecting his mood because he has to share the gloom and doom.
There's plenty of gloom and doom. Yeah. Doom means what's going to happen to the world, and all the fish are dying, and the wars every place, right?
Yeah.
Gloom and doom.
Gloom. What's gloom, Gordon?
Gloom is a lovely word. I really like it. I think of light when I think of gloom. That as an evening draws in, it gets dark and the light's fading, and that's a real gloomy environment.
Right.
Isn't that the gloom? Gloaming?
Gloaming? I don't know. But there's
gloom?
A little light. But there is a little light up here.
Light.
Did you notice that?
Oh, could be.
In the picture.
Yeah, when I hear that word gloom, I think sadness.
That's
sadness.
True. Yeah.
And doom, of course, means disaster.
Everything is going bad.
So the sad things and the terrible events, that's what we're really saying.
So what can we do then when we think like that?
Well, you know, I feel like it's important to realize and recognize that there is a problem, and it's kind of okay to spend time, you know, dwelling on it just a little bit, you know. It's fine.
But what can you focus on, though? Come on, don't focus on that.
Well, you can, afterwards, you can move on and just focus on the positive things.
You focus on what will help. You can say, now, this is a bad situation. What can we do about it? So focus on the solving the problem, not on the problem.
Yeah, that's right. And they use this interesting description. It's kind of confusing because it is kind of a fancy description. They say, crawl out of a bad mood.
And usually, crawling out of bed when you don't want to get up?
Well, yeah, I think that's actually exactly what it is. Usually when we hear crawl, we think about like children who can't quite walk yet, right? They're kind of on their hands and knees. But I think the idea here is sometimes in English we talk about how you have to crawl before you can walk, which means you have to like learn slowly. It takes time.
But when you're your age, you shouldn't be crawling anymore.
That's right. But if you're depressed and you're trying to get out of a bad mood, the important thing is to start being positive and start moving towards positive ways of fixing the problem. And so it might be very difficult at first. You might need to crawl, but in time, you'll slowly move out of that bad mood and sort of be able to return to a normal way of walking, I guess.
But they tell you here how you can do it. And the way to do it is to focus on what will help. So focus on the positive, on the good things. Yes, there are bad things, but there's good things. There's more cancer cures than there used to be. And there's a lot of good things. Well, cancer's bad, but there are more cures nowadays. You can get over it. So think about not the problem, but the good things about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be a big help. We can create a better mood, and we can manage our emotions. Managing our emotions is something that we all have to learn, right?
Yeah. In some ways, our emotions, we can't help them. Something bad happens, we feel sad. And if we manage our emotions, we recognize how we feel, but we don't let that feeling last a long time.
See, that's the thing. You go through that teenage stage when everybody's getting all these new emotions, and they have to learn how to manage them. And then when you get a little older, you're more mature, and you say, okay, well, there's good things. So that's what you have to learn, right? Let's take the second column.
Tips that can help. Work on problems at a regular, fixed time. Realize that consistency will correct problems. For instance, exercising 3 days a week for 3 years beats hit-and-miss workouts. Figure out what will work for you over time. Listen to your favorite music. Good music will lift your mood faster than anything. Put a limit on feeling sad. Even if your favorite pet died this week, make it a point to limit your grieving. Dwelling on sadness and sorrow doesn't celebrate the life of people or pets who've died. Instead, think about the good times you've spent with them. Worry is a signal you need to do some problem solving. For example, focus on one or two steps you can take to chisel away at a major problem. Could you ask someone for help? Could you decide to do something differently? It's easier to stay in a better frame of mind if you can envision pushing the right buttons. Taking action to push those buttons will actually restore some of your energy.
Well, you see these little pencils if you're looking at the script of the magazine, and I put numbers by them. 1, 2, 3, 4. What is the first thing that we can do? What is the first tip?
Well, it says work on problems at a regular fixed time. And a fixed time, of course, just means the same time every day. So basically make a schedule for dealing with your problems.
I've never thought of that. Have you?
I quite like this one, actually, because you can also try and fix your problems too much. When I lived with some friends in New Zealand, we had a rule in the evening that after 9 o'clock, you have to stop doing what we called life administration. You couldn't do things that things you have to do, practical things you have to relax and step back.
It keeps you awake at night if you get all those problems just before you go to sleep.
Exactly, yes. We had a few-hour period where we weren't going to fix our problems. We weren't going to worry about that. We were going to relax, which meant that we were scheduling a fixed time to do our problems at other times of the day.
So that works out sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with Gordon. This is something, if you incorporate into your routine every day, you know, it becomes easier to tackle on problems when you have it set, say, for in the morning after breakfast. You have a lot of energy, and you can work on it.
Okay. What's number two?
Well, number two says, realize that consistency, or doing things regularly every day, will correct problems. And then it gives us an example.
Okay.
Yeah, the example is about exercise, and I really like this example because it says, figure out what will work for you over time. And this is really important because there are some people out there, especially with exercise, who just seem to be able to do it. And they want to go to the gym every day. And many of us, I feel...
hit and miss?
Yeah, it's difficult for them. Yeah, you're more hit and miss. You just do random workouts.
I feel like I need a workout. Let's do it. But then I might not do it again for another 2 weeks. That's not good, right?
Yeah, that's right. And of course, what they're saying here is that when you are consistent, the problems sort of just kind of feel like they go away. And so basically what that means is if you're having a problem with one area of your life, it doesn't have to be exercise. It could be something like you feel like your skills are falling behind at work or something like that. You just regularly schedule a time to work on that problem. And if you work on it a little bit at a time, you find that the problem is solved.
That sounds kind of hard in a way, but number three is the easiest one for me, to listen to your favorite music. Music just lifts you out of your mood. And there's some kind of music that's very sad. If you're feeling down, listen to something like Mozart or something lively. Don't listen to sad music, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. You can certainly make your emotions stronger by what music you listen to. So if you're in a bad mood and you listen to angry music, it's probably not going to make you happy.
There's a lot of good gospel music that tells you about, you know, you can do it and ask God to help you. And, wow, you listen to that and you say, sure, yeah, I think God can help me. So you have to listen to the right kind of music, not negative music, right? There is a lot of negative music, too.
There is.
Right.
Yeah, you have to find music that sort of matches your mood and what you're doing at the time, but it's also important to realize that music does affect your mood.
And number four, what is number four?
Oh, you should put a limit on feeling sad. You know, even if your favorite pet died this week, make it a point to limit your grieving.
To limit your grieving. Can you limit your grieving?
Well, I feel like maybe you should set aside some time to, you know, pay your respects and recognize that, hey, you know, your pet was an important part of your life, but, you know, it's time to move on.
Well, how can you snap out of it if you've lost a cat or a dog that you just love? What do you think? I've lost several cats that I really liked, and the way I snap out of it is to think about how much fun and how I enjoyed them when they were here and things, instead of thinking, oh, they're not here anymore. Just think of the time they were here. And that's the way with people, too. The times that you had together, cherish those. Don't think about, well, they're not here now. What do you think? How do you snap out of grief?
Well,
have you ever had to grieve?
You gave me the hard question there, Doris.
I know, that's what
I'll tell you, I think this is good advice in certain situations, but I think it depends on how big the loss or the problem is, right? So basically what they're talking about here is using sort of self-control to just tell yourself when it's time to move on.
Right.
That's right. Like this, you know, I'm going to let myself take the week off to deal with this, and then after that, I'm going back.
Maybe just a couple of days, come on.
I mean, if we're talking about the cat,
then maybe
a day, right? But if we're talking about it like a close loved one or something like that, you might
dwell on the sadness, see? How great they were, and it was nice they were in your life. So don't dwell on the sad part of it.
Yeah.
Think of the good parts of what we learned from them and how nice it was to have them with us. So when you grieve, you can also think of positive things about what you're grieving about, don't you think?
I think, yeah, like I say, I think there's truth to that, but the amount of time that it takes to get over things, sometimes our feelings don't follow the schedules we set.
Well, no, you always miss them. They always feel sad, but don't dwell on it. You can think about it, but don't just keep thinking about it.
I think, you know, I understand where Simon's coming from. You know, some things are easier said than done, But, I mean, I think it's part of the healing process to grief, and you shouldn't just let it continue for on
right.
ever.
Just snap out of it.
I think there is an element, too, though. We have this word in English, wallow, which means you're just kind of sitting around feeling bad for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that, that's not really healthy, right? So maybe it's time to use some self-control and tell yourself.
Well, that has to do with your frame of mind. Don't be
right.
in the very, everything is so bad.
Yeah.
And you have to push the right buttons in order, how can you get yourself out of it? We have just about a minute left, but how can we push the right buttons?
Well, basically what it says is take action. And so the idea is if you are feeling sad and you want to feel better about yourself, you need to take action. You have to think about what things will help you deal with these problems and start doing those things.
So being positive instead of negative, think of the good things. And I think that's what we're going to talk about more tomorrow. We have a couple more days because this is very important in our life. We want to have a better life, a positive life. We want to be optimistic. So come back tomorrow and find more tips. Will you all be here?
Yeah.
Well,
see you then. And have a good day today. Think positively. Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.